InvestorIdeas.com podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of InvestorIdeas.com podcast. In today's podcast, I'm discussing some of the recent news out of Europe regarding the Czech Republic, the progress of cannabis rescheduling in the U.S., and the death of renowned cannabis researcher Rafael Mechoulam. Now, in recent news out of Europe, journalist Robert Reverka, director of the Czech-based cannabis magazine Legalizas, has been convicted this week of inciting the abuse of addictive substances and spreading drug addiction through his magazine. Now, according to the court of Ostrava, the third largest Czech city, the magazine offered instructions on how to illegally obtain cannabis, how to grow, process, and use the plant, and from time to time there were also seeds inserted into the magazine since the sale and possession of cannabis seeds is completely legal in the Czech Republic, and there were disclaimers attached. Now, the court also didn't like that there was advertisements of fertilizer companies and seed banks, although all the goods are normally sold in gardening shops and are perfectly legal. Now, Viverka described the spreading of toxicomania, or the promotion of drug addiction, section cited in the law as very flexible, sufficiently vague that it can be interpreted in many different ways so that it suits the prosecution, saying that it is a Bolshevik relic and a relic of totalitarianism. It allows for a loose interpretation of what constitutes incitement to substance abuse. He points out that it applies to all drugs but one, which is alcohol. The Czech media are full of adverts glamorizing alcohol consumption and promoting it even to kids. But if you tell somebody that they may want to try cannabis ointment on their knee, you can end up in court, said the publisher. The decision is definitive, and his only remaining option being to appeal to the Supreme and Constitutional Court, which Robert Viverka intends to do, although nobody knows when and if these courts would take up the case because they are overwhelmed. I will try to take this further to the highest courts to protect not only myself, but any other media outlet that chooses to write about cannabis, he said. Now, throughout the court case, Mr. Viverka has had the support of prominent politicians from the Czech Pirate Party, of which he is a member. For example, the Minister of Regional Development and Vice Prime Minister Ivan Bartos wrote on his Facebook, "The Pirate Party will always protect free access to information. In my opinion, in the case of Robert Viverka, the courts are criminalizing the sharing of information that is completely harmless to society. In what has been described as an attack on freedom of information and expression, the Czech courts appear to be in contradiction with the country's recent progressive approach towards cannabis." Just a month ago, government officials announced the country's intention to legalize adult use of cannabis, and Viverka had previously appealed a conviction and sentence handed to him during an initial trial in November of 2021. So, as you can see, within the Czech Republic, obviously pushing against any sort of cannabis media or cannabis discussions, even though the country is pushing towards legalization, and there are other countries obviously surrounding the Czech Republic that have different medical options, and some that are even pushing eventually for recreational. And this does kind of go against the general trend in Europe that you've seen over the last few years, which is to at least start promoting information surrounding cannabis so consumers can be aware, especially medical patients. And that's the main thing that Viverka's magazine was really discussing, was all of the medical benefits of cannabis. They did have accurate information. They did have interviews with doctors, with physicians. They did have interviews with patients. And really, it wasn't anything that you can't easily find access to online, so it wasn't like they were some sort of eccentric news outlet when compared to all the information that's readily available. But it just kind of shows that still there is a lot of this vague wording around the discussion of cannabis, the discussion of drugs. It's the same thing in the U.S. to some extent, is there can be the ability for lots of these companies to be shut down by federal government at different points, if they chose to do so. Obviously, there'd be a lot of negative press if they chose to do that. There's a lot of people pushing for the Biden administration to change their understanding of cannabis rescheduling, which is going to be the next piece of news, which is that last week, more than a dozen bipartisan congressional lawmakers sent a letter to top Biden administration officials demanding transparency in the ongoing marijuana rescheduling review that the president directed last year. Representative Earl Blumenauer recently circulated a draft of the letter among colleagues seeking signatories before sending the final version to the U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland and the Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra. Now, the letter states that Biden's rescheduling directive represents an opportunity to make an honest assessment of the origins and implications of federal policy, adding that marijuana was scheduled based on stigma, not science, and it's time to address marijuana's existing reality as a state-regulated substance. The administrative review of marijuana's scheduling should place the burden of evidence on maintaining marijuana's status as a scheduled substance. To correct the failed war on drugs and cannabis prohibition, the assumption must be that unless evidence undeniably indicates that marijuana is more prone to drug abuse than unscheduled substances already regulated at the state level, that marijuana should be fully descheduled from the Controlled Substance Act. The lawmakers added that administrative descheduling would not negate Congress' obligation to act on comprehensive federal cannabis reform, and that there is a variety of thoughtful legislative reform proposals that have been introduced in past sessions. Each of these proposals works to respect the leadership states that have demonstrated for 50 years in rethinking the failed and discriminatory war on drugs approach to marijuana, the letter says, and given the scope of the federal government's failure on marijuana, the administration must also take meaningful action to deschedule marijuana and partner with Congress and the states in the work ahead. To ensure accountability in your conclusions, which has been absent in so much of the history of federal marijuana regulation, transparency is key. We urge you to make available for public review and comment any evidence cited to demonstrate marijuana is more prone to drug abuse than descheduled substances already regulated at the state level. With these severe federal restrictions on cannabis research due to marijuana's rescheduling, it's important that your department's review of the full scope of research is available. It is time to set the federal government on a better path for marijuana policy and engage transparently with the evidence. So as we can see from this letter, there's still a lot of bipartisan support for cannabis rescheduling when you're looking at it from a federal level. This has kind of been the main discussion around safe banking access is by removing the cannabis scheduling. At a federal level, it does start to allow for more banking access. And you wouldn't necessarily need to put through the Safe Banking Act right away to allow different capital to come into the market, which has been the kind of main concern if you've listened to any of the interviews we've had in the past. This has been something that gets discussed over and over again when you're looking at the cannabis industry and the sort of issues surrounding investing within the cannabis industry, is there's still a real lack of access to capital when compared to any other legal industry within the U.S. So hopefully this will push things in the right direction. That being said, we've seen letters like this get pushed towards the administration in the past. We've seen the discussion around rescheduling, the discussion for the Safe Banking Act many times. I do think that there is a lot more sort of pressure on the Biden administration at the moment to actually do something with regards to marijuana rescheduling, just because this administration hasn't really done anything other than just sort of a lot of discussions about cannabis reform. But that's kind of one of the main critiques that the Biden administration, and specifically Biden, has faced over the last months has been, in general, there's just overwhelming support for cannabis legalization within the U.S., if not at least for cannabis rescheduling. I think most people agree that this shouldn't be viewed in the same views as heroin or crack. But I think that there is some discussion over recreational, which is still going to be decided at a state level anyways. So really, federal rescheduling does not affect any of the state legislation that's already in place. And I think that that's what this letter is trying to push for and trying to address, is that realistically, this is kind of the very least of things that should be done to allow for at least access, especially access to banking, which does make these industries much safer and starts to remove some of the illicit factors of the cannabis industry. So hopefully we'll see movement on this over the next couple of years. But again, this discussion has been had a bunch of times in the past, so it's difficult to say whether something is actually going to have any traction and actually move the needle at all when it comes to federal rescheduling. But what you can see is, overwhelmingly, if you've watched, you know, sort of the news around this discussion over the last few years, you've definitely seen it switch from being a strictly Democratic issue to being a bipartisan issue, where you're having more and more Republicans joining this discussion as well. They see the benefits economically, they see the job creations that are happening, and they also see that realistically the right to access medicine in your state has been a big Republican issue, obviously, during the pandemic. And so now they're starting to realize that if you're going to be fighting for rights to different medical options, cannabis has to be included in that discussion. And I do think that that's what's created sort of the momentum for more bipartisan support when it comes to cannabis rescheduling, is that the general discussion now is about access for medical options for patients. And it's kind of hard to argue against that. Like I said, having some sort of federal recreational market, I understand that's never really going to happen. It's always going to still be discussed at a state-by-state level. But in general, people want to have the option of medical access. And when you're fighting against that, like I said, you're going against you know, saving autistic children and epileptic children from seizures. You're going from, you know, denying end-of-life patients access to something that could drastically improve their well-being in the end of their days. Cancer patients could be dramatically improved. A lot of just what's going on with the opiate crisis could be dramatically reduced if you allow access to cannabis. I discussed this in one of the recent podcasts of, you know, all the benefits of cannabis versus all the other legal substances that are on the market when you're looking at alcohol, tobacco, and pharmaceuticals. So I think in general, there's enough information out there. And I like how they worded this letter where they're saying that really the burden of proof should be on the federal government to actually prove where there is evidence of drug abuse in relation to cannabis and where there is evidence that this is a dangerous substance, because there's a lot of evidence that it's not, and there really isn't any actual hard evidence that supports that it is. So lastly today, Rafael Meshulam, who is a renowned Israeli scientist and often referred to as the father of cannabis research, has passed away at the age of 92. Meshulam and his team of researchers at the Hebrew University began conducting experiments on cannabis in the 1960s and were the first to isolate the Delta-9 THC, the psychoactive component of cannabis, and he also designed and synthesized several new cannabinoids with potential as pharmaceutical drugs. Now, Meshulam was nominated for over 25 academic awards, including the Heinrich Wieland Prize in 2004, which is an honorary doctorate from the Complutense University in Madrid in 2006, and the Israeli Prize in Exact Science Chemistry in 2000. And he was a founding member of the International Association of Cannabinoid Medicines and the International Cannabinoid Research Society. Now, Meshulam was born in Bulgaria in 1930 and immigrated in his family to Israel in 1949, where he studied chemistry, and he later received a PhD from the Weizmann Institute in 1958, focusing on the chemistry of steroids. Now, Meshulam became a full professor at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem in 1972 after working as a member of the scientific staff on the Weizmann Institute from 1960 to 1965, where he focused on the isolation, structure, elucidation, and the synthesis of the main active principles of cannabis. His contributions to the scientific community have been immeasurable, and his groundbreaking studies have paved the way for future research on cannabis. "I've spent most of my life decoding the mysteries to be found within this incredible plant," he said. "I would like to see my colleagues forge ahead with the investigations, advancing even further the acceptance and integration of cannabinoids into traditional medicine." Most of the human and scientific knowledge about cannabis was accumulated thanks to Professor Meshulam, Hebrew University President Asher Cohen said in a statement. "He paved the way for groundbreaking studies and initiated scientific cooperation between researchers around the world. Meshulam was a sharp-minded and charismatic pioneer." Now in 2022, the YIVO Institute for Jewish Research in New York City mounted its exhibition on Jewish contributions to the history of cannabis and highlighted the work of Meshulam. "He's worked on cannabis his entire life, and in the 1990s, he and his colleagues discovered the endocannabinoid system, which regulates homeostasis, a significant discovery on how the human body deals with cannabinoids," Eddie Potnoy, who curated the exhibit, told the Jewish Telegraphic Agency at the time. "I read an interview with him where he says that because he was in a small country, he would have to find a niche that other people weren't working in." Professor Meshulam leaves behind his wife Dahlia, son Roy, and daughters Daphne and Hadas, and his funeral was held on Sunday, March 12th in Jerusalem. So sad news to see such a renowned scientist within the cannabis space pass away. Obviously, as you can see from the list of accomplishments he's had that I mentioned, he has been probably one of the most influential people when it comes to cannabis research over the last 60 years, especially because his research has gone on basically uninterrupted since the mid-60s. Which is why Israel, when it comes to cannabis research and cannabis understanding, is so much further ahead than other countries. And it's people like him that you definitely want to sort of point out as examples of the reality of cannabis versus the stigma and the insanity that's surrounded when you're looking at legalization and when you're looking at how lawmakers look at this substance. This is a man who devoted his entire life to understanding the benefits of this plant, literally discovering that we have an endocannabinoid system, a way of interacting with this plant specifically within our body. Again, has done amazing things for understanding plant medicine in general. And a lot of the research that he's contributed to is how we have sort of the medical industry that we have today, and also the medical understanding of cannabis that we have today. So definitely is sad to see someone go, but I also think that hopefully this will be a big moment for a lot of people within the scientific and research community for cannabis to sort of realize that now they need to take up the mantle, and also to be inspired by how much he has accomplished in his life, and that there still is a lot of work to be done when it comes to actually educating the world on the benefits of this plant, and also understanding the many different aspects of cannabis when it comes to the different cannabinoids that can be activated, because we still know very little compared to what could be known about cannabis, and there still is a lot of potential when it comes to unlocking the full benefits of that plant. And so hopefully there will be more people like him who will be inspired by his story, at least out of Israel, I'm sure that's the case, and out of the rest of the world, because I do think that it is through this research, as much as I get frustrated when there's constantly people saying, we need more studies, we need more research, I think that there's clearly an insane amount of evidence that supports cannabis legalization, that supports cannabis as a medicine, that supports the idea that it's not harmful. But that being said, there will always need to be more research on this plant for people to be truly comfortable dealing with it around the world. And so it is more people like him that we'll need, and more of these long-term studies, and more of these people willing to sort of risk going outside the norm to research a plant that still has stigmas attached to it. And eventually, hopefully, those stigmas will go away and people will recognize people like Mashulam for the sort of groundbreaking work that they've done, not just for cannabis research, but for our society in general. Because without researchers like him, we wouldn't have the medical systems that we have today with regards to cannabis. And we wouldn't understand the plant the way that we do. And when you look at the benefits to overall society that cannabis could have by being fully integrated into society and not having the stigmas attached, a lot of lives could be saved, a lot of lives could be changed. So I do think that eventually he'll get even further recognition for his contribution to just society and the world as whole. That's all for today's podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day. That's all for today's podcast. Podcast is now a certified word trademark on the blockchain through Cognate Incorporated CM certification. InvestorIdeas.com podcasts are also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and TuneIn. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor of this podcast, please contact InvestorIdeas.com. Investor Ideas reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website, and this podcast is not an endorsement to buy products or services or securities. Investors are reminded that all investments involve risk and possible loss of investment. Investor Ideas does not condone the use of cannabis except where permissible by law. Our site does not possess, distribute, or sell cannabis products.